Great. Very good Shabbos. Right now we're starting to have Mem Beis and Aleph. We had got through the beginning of the we got to the Mishnah describing the Meshuach Milcham. Meshuach Milcham again is someone who's a Kohen who's appointed to give some pep talks, some Direi Chizuk, pump up speeches to the Chevra as they go to war. It says the Mar Mai Kamar. Now, if you remember, the very first thing we said was Lashon HaKodesh, and the source was from Daber El Ha'am. Lashon HaKodesh. Of course, my camera, where do you see over here Lashon HaKodesh? Where Daber El Am is Lashon HaKodesh? Hach Kamar, that's what it means to say. Shnemar V'Daber, by us, V'Daber El Am. L'Halon Omer, and it also says elsewhere, Moshe Daber V'Lakim V'Nein V'Kol. Zereshava, Malahalam L'Halon Lashon HaKodesh, Av Kam Lashon HaKodesh. So the Yidaber, we know that's talking about Har Sinai, which by the way, we had that pasuk beforehand, if you remember. We had the pasuk beforehand. Remember what the pasuk was? Who remembers? I'll give you a hint. Oh, Yosef, perfect timing. Give you a hint. It's the same thing we're using it for right now. Not the same reason, the same reason. That's my hint. Yosef, I just started. I started about 1 minute ago in the second line of the Gemara and Daf Mem Beis and Aleph. Remember boys where it's from? This pasuk. I'll tell you what Daf it's on. I gotta find it myself right now, but maybe Lamed. Give him an Aleph. Malama, give him an Aleph. Towards the bottom there. Remember that? Remember? Yeah, Aaron, what is it?
Chalitza?
No, close. Close. Not Chalitza.
Oh, Nicobacurian?
Now make it recurring.
What?
But you're close with that also.
The Levian?
Levim, it's the source for brachos and klolos. How do we know that's Lashon HaKodesh, right? So that was the kol gzeirah shavah. So over here, we're using it directly for Mashiach Milchama. That's the pshat. The bear and the bear. There was kol. Here it's daber. Gzeirah shavah teaches Lashon HaKodesh. Again, ma'alahal Lashon HaKodesh, avkam Lashon HaKodesh. Tan Rabbanan, v'nigash ha'kohen, v'daber la'am. If you remember, we said it really wrong. We read this Mishnah. We said, who's the one who goes and does this? The kohen is the Mashiach. There's a special kohen designated. The Kohen Mashiach HaMelchama. So we learn this from where? It says in the Pasuk, the Kohen approaches and speaks to the nation. So maybe you'll tell me any Kohen can do this job. It says, meaning the Shotrim are also speaking. This whole process of the pre-war discussion, it's by the Kohanim, by the Kohen, and by the Shotrim. Ma Shotrim, just like Shotrim are appointed, it's an appointed position to be a Shoter. So the Kohen also is also someone who's appointed. You put the air. Just like the, Aaron, sorry.
What's a short term?
Shoter is like an enforcer, a policeman, but like an enforcer, someone to enforce. So just like the Kohen is, again, the Kohen over here is someone who's, sorry, so the Shoter is someone who's Memuna, who's appointed. So too the Kohen that we're going to describe here is someone who's appointed. And therefore, it's got to be someone, and not any Kohen can do this, someone who's given an appointment in order to do it. But so here, well, if that's the case, the Ema Kohen Gadol, maybe it should be the Kohen Gadol. He's appointed position, so maybe he should be the one who does it. Whereas, no, do me the Shoter. It's got to be similar to a Shoter. Ma Shoter Sheish Muna Al Gabav. Af Kohen Sheish Muna Al Gabav. Just like a Shoter has someone who's appointed above him. He's not the king of this position, someone's above him. Rashi points out over here the shofet is above him. A shoter is the one who carries out what the shofet decides. Shofet's the judge. Shoter carries it out. So over here we have again the shofet is on top of the shoter. Someone's got to be on top of the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol on top of the Kohen in our case. Kohen Gadol is the top of the position, so it can't be something that he's the one who does this. It's got to be someone like the shoter that he's appointed, and that someone's above him. What do you mean? Kohen Gadol Nami, Hayik Melech Al Gabav. The Kohen Gadol also, he has someone above him who has the Melech above him. So therefore, if the Melech is above him, then he should be able to fit this bill of being appointed for a job, and someone's above him. Gemara says, no, it's not an example, because that is B'avodaso Ka'amar. We're talking about someone above him in his line of work. Kohen Gadol is the top that's out there, just as someone else that's above him, not in the Kohen field, but in a different field, which is the Melech, of course. But the Shoter has a Shofet above him in this line of work. Kohen Gadol is the top of the line of work, and therefore it can't be the Kohen Gadol. It's got to be someone else who's appointed. Not any Kohen can do it. Or so how about something more of a Imaskan? Maybe it's the assistant Kohen Gadol, Skan Kohen Gadol. Whereas the Skan Lamunuhu, Skan is not really an appointment. We call him the understudy. It's not an appointment to be an understudy. Why? It's not even right. Some of Chanina Skan Kohenim. Chanina himself, who was a Skan Kohen. So what did he say? He's the vice president, the vice Kohen Gadol. Lema Skan Mamuneh. For what reason is there a Skan appointment? Shim Irabo Psul, the Kohen Gadol. Shim Irabo. If there were to occur a Psul in the Kohen Gadol, so then the Skan would take over. Nichnas Mishamish Tachta. The Skan enters his place and takes over and serves instead of him. So really the Skan has no role, no active role as being a Skan. He's the understudy. He's an understudy in a Broadway play. The understudy has a, he fills a role. But once that, he's waiting to fill a role. He has no role as the understudy. And therefore, it's got to be someone who has a role. Skan Kohen has no role. Kohen Gadol is too high up at the ladder. So what's left? Someone specially appointed for this job. That's called the Kohen Meshuach Milchama. It's an appointment dafka. Not anyone can do it. It's got to be appointed to do this. Okay. Remember, we said part of the pep talk he says to them is Shema Yisrael, right? You're going against your oyveichem, we said, not your brothers, but your enemies. Shema Yisrael is an interesting lashon we're using. Ma'ishna Shema Yisrael, for what reason? Why do we choose to use that lashon of Shema Yisrael? So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Bishum Meruchai. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Baruch Hu, Li Yisrael, Afilu Lo Kiyamtem El Kriya Shema Shachas Varvis, Yatem Nim Sarim Biyadam. Again, we're giving a pep talk over here. Part of the pep talk says the word Shema Yisrael in it to remind them that those are words that we say every single day twice. If you say that every day, two times, at morning and at nighttime, then you can be confident that you will be victorious. Hashem will be with you. You will not be given over to their hands. If you say Shema twice, that's all you need in order to get your success that we're going to win this battle. So over here we had, if you remember, the pasuk says, do not be weak of heart, do not be afraid of this, do not be scared of that. We had four different lashonos. We had Al Yirach Levavchem and three lashonos past that. I'll just read the pasuk inside. Al Yirach Levavchem is one, Al Tirun, Al Tachbazu, Al Tard Sum Ibnehem. We had all the other four lashonos. We'll see in a minute what this is for. Tan Rabbanan. Pa'amayim medaber imam. With the two times the Kohen's job is active, this Kohen Meshuach Melchama, two times he has to speak. Achas basfar, yachas b'melchama. One time is when he's at the sfar is the edge of the city, meaning as they're walking out of the city, heading to battle, they're going out of Eretz Yisrael. That's one time, or the certain Israel before they leave. That's as far as like the border. And Melchama is when they're about to go to the actual battlefield. That's the two times that the Kohen speaks to them. Svar Malam, where do you say them at the Svar at the border? What do you say them at the border? So he says, Shimu Divari Me'arche Melchama V'chazru. Or Shimu Divrei Me'arche Melchama V'chazru. Listen to the words of those who wage war and come back. What does that mean? It means, says Rashi, that we're talking here about who are the people who are supposed to come back, supposed to fight. Who are the people who are supposed to fight? Who's supposed to be coming back from the war? Rashi points out that there's, and we'll see the Gemara's going to talk about in a minute, there are certain roles, certain people who have certain, we saw it in the mission as well already, the people who have certain, we'll see that later on, I guess. We didn't see it yet, did we? We did not see it. We'll see it today in the mission, when we get to the next mission. But there are three different types of people, categories of people, that are exempt from going to battle. So he announces to them who's supposed to stay back. And whoever's supposed to stay back, so now you go back home, the chazru, they go back home. That's what you say at the border of leaving Eretz Yisrael. But what do you say about the actual battlefront before you get to leave the borders? After leaving the borders in the actual battlefront, what do you say there? Ma'al Omer. There he says, these four lashonos. So again, he has two separate things he says. When they're about to leave the land, he says, let me tell you who's supposed to go, who's not supposed to go, which people are supposed to be fighting, which people are supposed to be going home and taking care of different needs they have, personal needs that they have. While they're by the actual battlefield, he says to them, don't be afraid, don't be nervous, don't panic, don't be weak of heart. Connected arba advarim. He says these four lashonos, because there are four things that the umos ha'olam try to do to intimidate us. She'umos arba advarim, umos ha'olam osim. Magifim, they bang their shield, we said last time. Marian, they blow the trumpets. Savchin, they shout, the soldiers start to shout. Rom sin, they trample. Which means that the horses start to make a lot of like noises as they run on the battlefield. These are all things that are done to psych you out. Do not be afraid when you hear these things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on our side. Okay. Plishtim Golios. Again, we mentioned before in the Mishnah that we shouldn't be afraid. The Plishtim have their leader, which is Golios, and we have Hashem. Golios, Lim Golios, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Sha'amad Begilur Panim Klipnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why is he called Golios? Why is his name? Because that's what he did. He was Galui. He stood in a brazen chutzpah, says Rashi, in chutzpah, Gilur Panim, in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu. How was he chutzpah to Hashem? He says, Baruch Lachem Ish, be ready, Eli. Choose for me an Ish, and let him come upon me. The angel of Kadosh Baruch Hu, the word Ish here refers to Hashem. Shemar says the pasuk, Hashem Ish Milchama. Hashem is called an Ish Milchama. They're right about going to battle. Give me your Ish. Give me Hashem. I can take Hashem down myself, says Golios. And Hashem's response is, I'm going to knock this guy down through not an Ish, but through a Ben Ish. David, Ben Ish Efrati Hazeh. David, the Ben Ish Efrati. So here we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gave, and this again is in the same Pasuk. In the same parak, as we had a minute ago, as when Golios is threatening. So that's when this he was called a Ben Ish. That was called Ben Ish. I said, I'll not give you an Ish, I'll give you even less than that. I'll give you Ben Ish, and even he's going to take you down. Okay. Amar Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Meir. B'sholshim Mekomos Lachtu Piv L'Osa Rasha. There were three places where this Rasha, Golios' mouth, ensnared him, meaning it trapped him, meaning there were three times when he said things, and those words that he said ended up coming back to haunt him. What were they? Echad bar lachem ish v'yireid elai. But pick a man and he will come down upon me. And that's what happened. He came down upon him. Meaning he used a lashon and that lashon actually happened to him. That's one of them. Number two, v'idach, number two. Im yuchol ilachem iti v'ikani. If you can fight me and hit me, oh, so that's what he did. He hit him. And number three, v'idach, v'idach, de'kamer le'le David. That he says to David, hakel v'anochi ki ata ba'ilai b'machlos. What am I, a dog? That you're coming to me with sticks? Meaning, Golios was a huge warrior, and David Melech didn't have a sword. He didn't have anything. He had very, very little weaponry. He had a stick. He had a slingshot. He had some rocks. He says, what are you? Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? But here, you're coming upon me. By lie, coming upon me, which again is mashma. You're going to come upon me. So three times that Golios used a lashon that implied he would be hit. He would be beaten. And that's really what happened in the end. So his words kind of like failed him. He said things that ended up happening to him. Verses 1 second. That's the case. David Nami Amar Le. David also said something. But David also said, he said to Golios, you're coming upon me with sword, spear, and another way of saying spear, kidon. Remember the word kidon before? Remember where the word kidon was beforehand? Remember that? Slow day at the office today, boys. Slow day at the office. Where do we have the word kidon? I'll give you a hand. It was one of those things we had a different gear. So we had the word kidon, we had the word nachon. Divrei Yavam calls it, I think, nachon maybe, or kidon. I forget which one was which. But it was talking about the where was it? With the Aron. The Aron was called kidon. Oh, here it is. Daf Lama Hema Beis. It says, Ksiv kidon, Ksiv nachon. We said it was called Kidon, the Aron, because the Aron caused a tremendous amount of suffering. People died because of the Aron at some point. And then later on, it's called Nachon, Lama Hemaviz. It's called Nachon because in the end, everything worked itself out. You see where that is, right? Like toward the middle of the page, toward the middle, little above the middle of the page, two dots right there. See it there, boys? Lama Hemaviz, anybody? With me, guys. Long Shabbos. Baruch Hashem. Too much chillin', obviously. Okay, back in the Gemara. Oh, so anyway, so David Melech said the same thing. David also said, David says, you're going to come upon me with these weapons. So again, why don't we assume that was also a bad way to speak? So the Gemara says, no. Because David Hadar Amar. David went back and he said, Amar Lei, Vanochi Ba'ilecha B'Shem Hashem Tzvakos, Elokei Yisrael, Marachos Yisrael, Asher Harafta. But David says, you come to me, what David said was this, you come to me with sword, you come upon me with your swords and your spears, and I come upon you with the Shem of Hashem, who wages war for us, and you have disgraced him. So he wasn't really saying that you come upon me. He was comparing, you're attacking me with this, and I'm coming to you in the name of Hashem, who you've just disgraced. So good luck, Golios. Okay, but back to the story of Golios, a little more about Golios. You have to know him a little better. His family, who his siblings were, his mother maybe, learn a lot about Gleilus today. That's what today's Amud right now is. But Yigasha Plishti Hashkem Varev. The Plishti, Tamei Gleilus, would get up early and he would stay late. But the Lashon Yuzal here, Hashkem Varev, he would mock Bnei Israel morning and night. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, why did he do this morning and night? He was trying to make them be so afraid and be so preoccupied that they would miss Dav saying Kriyat Shema. If you remember, we said a minute ago, I'm not sure connecting or not, but we say Shema Yisrael in the battle. Why? Because you say Kriyat Shema properly, morning and night, you'll win. So he wanted to make them lose their focus on Kriyat Shema. So he used to go Hashkem Varev. But he said save Arba Yim Yom. Sorry, I skipped. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Did I skip this now? No. But he said save Arba Yim Yom. He said okay, that he stood up 40 days. 40 days, Gleilus was tormenting the Jewish people. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, connected Abraham Yom Shinesna Behem Torah. These 40 days were corresponding to the 40 days before we received the Torah. I mean, before we got the Torah, we were people who had did not have the divine protection to the same extent that we had later on. So Hashem gave him those 40 days representing, as we're in right now, Moshe Rabbeinu, we went to see the Torah, like prepared for 40 days before he brought it down. So we also, those 40 days are a time in theory when we have we're not yet fully connected to the Torah, and therefore that was the 40 days that he was given the opportunity to torment us. So we're back again to describing Gleilus. He was a ish beinayim from the camp of the Plishtim. What does beinayim mean? Ma beinayim. What does beinayim? Oh my gosh, Akiva, you made it. Ma beinayim. What does beinayim mean? Says the Gemara. Beinayim means. I got all three of them. Akiva's double appearance. I'm gonna get back to myself for a second. Sorry. Beinayim means. I'm a rav. Shemavuna mikol mum. Uvunemi. He was like built. He was built, meaning he had no clear blemish. He was such a warrior. His Gleilus. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says, no, Beinoni b'shevaach b'shevaachav. He was actually a middle size compared to his brothers, meaning we're going to see there were four brothers altogether. Gleilus was one of the four. And these guys were beasts. He was even though he was huge, he was one of the average size of the different brothers. That's the second shot we bring down. Devei Rabbi Shila Amar Shu Asui Kibinyan. He was like a building. He was like built like Mamash, like a big skyscraper. That's how he would look. That's why he called Beinayim. He was like a binyan. And finally, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Bar Mea Papi Vechada Nani. Beinayim is like a loose juxtaposition of the words, Bar Mea Papi Vechada Nani. Beinayim. That means he was a son of 100 adulterers and one father. What does it mean? It means that we're going to talk about how his mother, by the way, just as the Gemara tells us here, is Orpah. You know who Orpah was? Orpah was the lady. Very, very, very apropos for a week from tonight, or a week from tomorrow night. She was the lady who her and Rus were by Naomi, their mother-in-law. They both, their husbands passed away. I think we'll describe very soon. But she took leave of Naomi. She did not stay the whole way. She started with Naomi, but she abandoned Naomi at the very end. That night, it says she slept with 100 men. And my son likes to talk about also that I had a dog, according to some opinions. 100 men and a dog. My son Yechiel likes to mention that part. I don't know why the dog part excites him, but 100 men. What's that?
Keep that's up. Why, like, when David went to fight with Goliath, he's like, he brought a stick. So he thought, like, Goliath told him, what do you think? I'm from a dog. You think I'm a
oh,
dog?
Very interesting. You hear that? He's that's very good. You heard that somewhere?
I heard that. I think Rabbi Wallace Jean.
Okay, very good. That's what we said before. We said, he even says to him, like, Kelvinoka, you come to that stick. Excellent, very good. We quote that passage today, but that's why he said dog. It's more apropos, because that's what the rumor. That, I mean, it was so, that's how low Orpah sunk. But the point is that she slept with 100 guys that night, whatever that means. And one of them was a father, and the other 100, or whatever, maybe 101. And the other ones were like adulterers, basically, because they weren't the father in the end. That's why he was called Beinayim, Bar Mea Papi V'chad Nani. Okay, back in the Gemara. V'Gleilus Shmo Migat. Gleilus was his name, and he came from a place called Gat. Why do I care where he came from? Satan, Rabbi Yosef, shall I call Dashan as Imo Kigat? Everyone, they crushed his mother like she was a thresh, like God is a threshing floor. So they you know, that's it's a sexual connotation that they crushed her like she was just like an object. Gemara says more in these types of similar vein. Ksiv Maros, Karina Marachos. It's said in the pasuk. It says The lashon it uses over here is it says. Who said the lashon? Maros versus Marachos. It said Maros Plishtim, but that's how it's written. But we read it as Marachos Plishtim. Let me try to find the exact pasuk here. Sorry, one second. Oh, here. It says, "Whom is that very imam?" I'm reading right now from the Mikra Kodesh on the side of our page, but towards the very bottom of the page, like about 15 lines from the bottom, it says, "Who?" It's talking about Golios. "Whom is that very imam?" V'hinei isha beinayim ole Golios haplish yishvom migas imarachos plishtim. But it's written as imaros, as a cave. It means really marachos, which is like the battlefield, but it's written as maros. Why is it Maros? It's written Maros, but it's called Marachos. And Rav Yosef, Shakol he'aru be'imo. Everyone penetrated his mother. He'arus, like the word Maros. Where else we had the word he'ara? Remember we had it beforehand? That penetration? Who remembers? We had actually two places we had it. Yeah, Aaron.
Was it when we were like talking about the time of like the...
Excellent. One was in Daf Dal and Aleph. Very good. The time it takes. K'day ha'ara. K'day bia. K'day bia k'day ara. Very good. Second time we had it. This is a tougher one. I can't remember myself where it was. I know what it's about. We had a discussion. It's towards the bottom of an Amud Beis. I know what the topic was. Let me find it. Oh, found it. Chavav Mabez. Chavav Mabez. Take a peek. We had a discussion about whether or not a person, if he lies with a lady and he doesn't sleep with her, he doesn't, or he says, the lashon used over here is Derech, what's the lashon used in the Gemara? So you have to back to our sota. We haven't talked about sota for a long time, but we talked about sota. That was a. It says that you have to, only if you sleep with her is it a problem? Not if you do something else with her. What's something else mean? We're talking about whether or not it means like gemar bia versus he'ara versus minor penetration versus maybe just being physical with each other. But that's the word he'ara. Bano chavav mebeis. You boys see it there? Track it down. Chavav mebeis. Okay. Viter says the gemara further. One second. Yeah. Okay. Says the Gemara. That's why it says Ma'aros. Ksiv Horpa, Uksiv Orpa. There are times when we call this lady Horpa. Times when we call her Orpa. So what's the point? Why is that? Which one's right? Rav Shmuel. Chadamar Horpa Shema. One says that her name was really Horpa. Why we call her Orpa? Let me call Shema Orpa. Shall I call Orphan or something Achura? Again, back to the sexual immorality. This lady. Everyone, they slept with her from behind, or if means from the back. They had anal relationship with her, not even frontal. So it was a very unusual and more animal-like behavior. That's what Wamshah was. That's why really heard, called her Orpah. Her name was really Horpa. V'chadamar Orpah Shema. Was it? No, her real name was Orpah. V'lam nikra Shema Horpah. Why is it called Horpah? She called Dashin Osa Kharifus. Again, everyone, they crushed her. Like harifos means crushed grains or crushed wheat. We have this lashon harifos meaning crushed wheat. And it says, "V'tikach isha v'tifros hamasach al pnei abeir v'tishtach aleh harifot." Talks about a lady who she placed a masach like a sheet over a bear, over a well, and she laid out her crushed wheat on top of it. So harifot means crushed wheat. You might say ima mehalcha, or you can see the word harifot means crushed wheat from this following pasuk. Im tichatesh. Im tichtosh es ha'avil, es ha'avil b'machtesh, b'so harifos ba'ali, which means if a tachtesh machtesh is like a mortar or something to smash. If you smash the avil, is the fool, with a mortar, together with harifos, together with the crushed grain ba'ali in a pestle. So over here, just describing again that the word harifos means crushed grain. So that people crushed her like she was crushed grain. Okay. Yes, Arbaz Ela, you will do the Horpa, Begas. These four giants, which before there were four giants that Horpa had as children, and they fell in the hands of David and of David's servants. Who are these four children? Saf, Umadon, Golios, Yishvi Benov. Those are the four names. Saf is one, Madon is two, Golios three, Yishvi Benov is number four. They flew beyond David, beyond Dov. We know they fell into David's hands and David's servants' hands. Tiksim said the pasuk, "Tishak or pa lechamusav ruch dav virus dav kaba." So again, the pasuk over here describes as Naomi is going back to her land of Eretz Yisrael after she lost her husband and her two sons. The story of that we're reading on Shavuos time. So she had two daughter-in-laws who both lost their husbands, and they both want to stick with her. But finally, Naomi says, "No, leave me." So it says that Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, meaning Naomi, and she left. And Rus Davkaba and Rus stayed close to Naomi. Amar Rav Yitzchak Rishon based on the pasuk. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Yavo Bnei Hanashuka V'Yiplu Biyah Bnei Yagdvuka. It was very fitting that David HaMelech was the one destroyed his army was who destroyed all four children of Orpah, because after all it says that the Bnei Nishuka, the one who kissed and said goodbye, which is Orpah, those children should fall in the hands of the Bnei Hadavuka. Okay, Darash, which was Rus, and we know Rus was the ancestor of David HaMelech. Darash Ravish learned out Biskar Arba Dimaosha or Rida Orpa Al Khamusa Zatsumana Arba Giburum. So because there were four tears that Orpa cried before she left her mother-in-law, she was Zocha to have four giants, four warriors coming out of her family. Shnemar, Batisena Kolan, Batifkena Oda. She raised her voice and she cried again. Again means she cried beforehand. Now she has two eyes, says Rashi. And tears coming once from both eyes is two, and coming the second time, Ode, is four. So four tears gives you four giborim. Talking about the Golios again, Golios weaponry. It's written as chetz chaniso, and we read it though, the pasuk is written as chetz, but read as etz chaniso, referring to like the wood of the sword of the spear that Golios had. But why is it called chetz chaniso? So Rabbi Lazar. We didn't even describe half of Chetz, even half of the powerful description that you could have given Golios in the Navi. We not even Chetz do we get to. Mikam, we learn from here. Here we learn now that we shouldn't give praise to Rishayim. That's what the Navi does, but it holds back because it's not good to give praise to those Rishayim. So if that's the case, we'll lift up by cloud and don't give any praise to. Why do we talk about the strength of Golios at all if you want to avoid giving praise to Rishon? Where it says, lo dui, shivchei de David. It wants to let us know the shevach, the praise we want to give David HaMelech, that he was able to, he was not afraid of, he was able to defeat this very, very strong warrior. Okay, that was the mission about Golios. That's the mission now of shuvach. Remember, we had the word shuvach before him. This is the mission over here. Mark quotes, B'nei Amon, Bo, B'nei Tzchonot Shal Shuvach. The Bnei Amon, people of Amon, they wanted their leader, their army leader was Shovach. So they came with him in mind. Ksiv Shovach u Ksiv Shofach. It says Shovach and it says Shofach. It's written and different times. One time Bever Yamin, one time in Shmuel Beis. So which one is the real name? So Rav Shmuel, again, they weigh in on this. Chad Amar Shofach, Shmo. His name was always Shofach. Lamanikra Shmo Shovach. Why was he called Shovach? Shasui Kishovach. He was built like a chicken coop. Means he was like, I guess, very broad. Very broad. And that's why he was called Shovach. It was like a description of his appearance. That's one opinion. It says a different opinion. Why was he called Shovach? His name was really Shovach. Whoever saw him, they like spilled out like a flask of water. Meaning they like melted when they saw him. They couldn't. He was such a powerful warrior. No one could stand up to him. They were so worried when they saw him. It says Gemara Ashbaso. Ashbaso kikever pasuach kulam giborim. Again, we're still describing here the Rashi says over here. We move over to the words of Nebuchadnezzar. It's got the word Nebuchadnezzar. What was that Nebuchadnezzar? We had Nebuchadnezzar before. Where was he, Nebuchadnezzar? Remember we had him before? In our Gemara, Nebuchadnezzar? Yeah, Aaron.
Is it when we said he went crazy? Like we quoted it.
He went crazy. Did we say that?
He said like he had the dream, something like that.
Okay, yeah, what yeah, good. What happened in the end? We brought him down for what reason, remember?
He like the 40 years, like the years we were talking about.
Very close. What do you mean years? Very close. Remember Aaron? See if I can find the daf it's on. Chav Gimel maybe? Chav Gimel and Aleph? No. No. Yes. Chav Aleph and Aleph. Chav Aleph and Aleph. Chav Mabez, Chav Aleph and Aleph. Tell me, how long is Chus Tola for? When Nebuchadnezzar, we had a story, and he said, if you give people to you know, give the poor people, it'll last for an extra year. It lasted in the end, remember? Lasted for an extra year, and we said that Al Shlosha Pishei Adom, right? We said times three is how we knew that Rabbi Shmuel could be the author of our Mishnah, that even up to 3 years, you could have a Schus Tola. Okay. Back in our Gemara. Says the Gemara, Nebuchadnezzar, his soldiers, it describes them, that they're Ashpaso, they're, well, we'll see what it means in a minute, but it means like their garbage was like an open kever, like an open grave. They were all warriors. Rabbi Shmuel, Vamila Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi. Chadamar Bishash, Zorkin Chetz, Osen Ashpasos, Ashpasos Chalalim. When they would shoot an arrow, they would make heaps and heaps of carcasses. They would kill people, you know, lots at a time with shooting their arrows. And therefore we see they were Giborim. Maybe they were really craftsmen. They were experts in war. They were really strong shots. It was just they were like real sharpshooters. No, Kolom Giborim. It's because they were strong, not sharpshooters. It wasn't like they were experts in firing. So they were beasts. They were strong. The Chadamar, what does it mean that the Ashpaso? Peshasha Osen Sorche and Osen Ashpasos Ashpasos Shel Zevel. That when they went to the bathroom, they were so big, they made like heaps and heaps of excrement. Of feces. Maybe you'll tell me because they had stomach problems. Maybe they were lactose intolerant. That's why they had these problems. How do you know they were so it says tomorrow? No, Tamalo Mark Kulam Gibrim says they were all soldiers, they're all warriors. Where else have we seen things of excrement? I don't mean to be all like, you know, a potty mouth over here. Where else have we seen though like ideas of excrement going to the bathroom? Recent. Had to do with, I think, where was it? Sira. I think where was it? Sira. Where was that Gemara? Sira not following them. Above that part, it talked about how with everyone heard of them and they were, it said like the word like Vihamu. Oh, here, Davlamavav and Aleph. It says, Vahamosi is Kalam. I remember that no one could sit in front of them, that Hashem has cast his fear on everyone. Lamavav and Aleph at the top. It says, Lashon Vahamu, Vahamosi is Kalam. And Rashi there says that it means that they're the Nitraz, that was what it was, Nitraz. They soiled themselves. Remember that? Sound familiar to us? Five lines at the top, Lamavav and Aleph. All right, we're slumping, boys. We're slumping here. Let's get back to ourselves. I'm asking some hard questions, but you know what? You've been doing great up till now. You spoiled me.
We didn't do Rashi on that.
No, but Nitraz. Nitraz there, we said, meant soiled himself, I think. No? What do we say it meant? Soiled? Right, I'm getting some head shakes to keep from the other group over here. Getting some head shakes like, yes. Not, I mean, nods. Not nos, but nods, yes. All right, bye, Dr. Kumar. I'll stop asking you for the time. I think tonight I'm going to stop asking you questions. You guys are we're late night for us.
I asked someone, I'm not going to say who it was, but I asked someone today about like the modem.
Yeah.
And I was sure he was just going to straight away get it. He had no idea it was in Sota.
Someone who should know, you're saying. You're saying one of the guys in my night city, you're saying. And when you told them afterwards, they admit it or not?
Like one knew and the other one didn't.
Oh boy. If you want to text me later on who it was, I can you know, give him a hard time about it later on. He can give me a private text. I'll get it then for him.
But then they pulled the card of the bracha, so they brought like the Elokai Netzar.
Okay, just give me a break. Come on, don't play that game. Don't play that game and keep with us. We don't need that. All right. Anyways, bye. Back in the Gemara. Says the Gemara further. Amar Rav Mar, Shami Na High Man the Nafish Zivlei Choli Me Aimhu. Gemara says here, we learn from here that the fact that the Gemara had a Havmi, maybe the reason why they were had so much excrement was because they were sick. Someone who has a lot of Nafish Zivlei means he's going to the bathroom a lot, so it means he's got a stomach problem. Gemara says, who cares? Might ask me, why is the Gemara telling this to me? Gemara says, Litrach Benafshe means take care of yourself. If you feel like you're going to the bathroom a lot, go see a doctor. Take care of yourself. Well, then says over here, Da'aga b'lev ish yashchena. That worry in a person's heart, yashchena. What does yashchena mean? Says the Gemara, two different drushes what it means. Rabbi Amr asked, Chadamar yashchena midaito, like remove it from your mind. If you are afraid, again, the reason why we bring this down, Rabbi Amr Asi just said it's now machlokas about what the ashpaso was. So we bring down another Rabbi Amr Asi machlokas about what a word means. Yashchena means like hesachadas, remove it from your mind. Chadamar yashchena la'achirim. Tell people about it. It's a very important idea in psychology. Something's bothering you, talk about it with people. Share with people. Make sure people know about it. I guess it off your chest a little bit. I can't hold back. Where else have we seen this idea of telling people that when something's going wrong, you should tell someone about it? Where have you seen the idea beforehand? Knew I shouldn't ask. I shouldn't ask. I couldn't hold back. Very beginning of the seventh parak, and that Lamed Zion, when the Mitzorayim remember this or no? Yeah. Aaron, you got it or not?
No, I'm not sure.
Lamed Beis. We said that first. We said you're supposed to be keep quiet when you have tsar. We said no, you're supposed to tell everyone you have tsar. Tama Yikra, Tzarech Odio Tzar the Rabbim. You got to tell people that you're having a hard time. The Rabbim should daven for you. So here also a separate idea, not doubting for you, but to kind of like get off your chest certain things. You know that one? Remember that Aaron or not? Yeah. All right. Okay. Blee Nedder, I'm not asking anything else.
There's the Josh of Rashbi, right?
What's that?
It was the one Rashbi said, right?
Which one? The
Tame Yikra.
Yes, exactly. That was Rashi. Akiva, it's like what your students did that. It's like, you know, he made up for it because he said another line about it. Okay. Yeah. You know about Aaron. Fine. I'll give it to you a little credit. I'll give you a little bit. Fine. Says the Gemara, Batem Iatem Cain. You are different, he says, Bnei Israel. You're different. Kokach Lama. Again, what does it mean over here? It says over here that Hashem is holech with us. He goes with us to war. Why is that happening? Kokach Lama, why is so much? Why does Hashem do so much for us at war? Nesha Hashem, v'chol kinuyav, munachin ba'aron. Hashem and all the kinuyav are placed in the aron. Okay, kinuyav. Where is it from? Kinuyav. We had it beforehand. Remember this? Boys, where do you have the Kiddushin Kinui? We had it. Where was that from? I can't stop. I can't control myself. No, Aaron? Ah, Aaron.
Did we have it relating to the Aaron? Did we have it when we talked about the Aaron before?
Okay, no, we'll get that soon, though. Okay, I won't ask you about it. We'll get that soon. We had it by Brichas Kohanim. Look over here in top of Lama Chesem Ha'ala, the very top line. That in the Mikdash, we dafka do Shem Hashem, the way it's written. And the rest of the time in Medina, we do it B'kinu Yav, top of Lama Chesem Ha'ala, the very top line there. Okay. Listen, it's a Baruch Hashem. The Neshama Yisera is leaving us, and we're mourning her. We can't focus. We're so hurt by the Neshama Yisera leaving us, we can't even think anymore. Chaz De Hashem. No more doing Motzei Shabbos anymore. That's the last Motzei Shabbos we're doing is this one. That's it. I think I scared Aaron off. He just left. Okay. Anyways.
His phone died. I think he's about to join me.
Yeah, his phone sure. Died. His phone died. He can't take it anymore. Can't take it. I don't blame him. Okay. Back in the Gemara. Hashem's name and Kol Kiddushin and all the other names are written, are found in the Aron. That's why he goes out with us to war for that reason. I'll wait till I see it. There he is. There's Aaron. All right, Aaron. We're back. Back and better than ever. Okay. Okay, Umar and similarly, it says, Vayishlach Usam, top line, Mem Gimel Aleph, We're going to see this again, a reference over here to the Aaron going with us to war. It says that Hashem says that they sent out, Moshe sent out 1,000 people per tribe, them and Pinchas. Now the pasuk goes on to say, Uklea Kodesh v'chatzotrosa trua biado. It goes on to say a few more things. So the Gemara here brings down and says that, explains that Osam, that's Pinchas. Osam, Elo Sanhedrin. Who's Osam? Who's them? Them refers to the Sanhedrin. Pinchas, he's the Mashof Melchama, the one we had before, who was the anointed Kohen to bring us into war. The Klei Kodesh, which is Klei Kodesh, means Ze Aron Veluchos Shabo. That refers to the Aron, the Luchos that were in the Aron. That was the Klei Kodesh. Chatzotros, Hatrua, Elu HaShofros. All those things that accompanied us to war, the Aron, Luchos, the Chatzotros of Trua. That refers to the shofar that we would blow. Tana, it was taught Luluchinam Halach Pinchas the Melchama. Not for no reason was Pinchas chosen to be the Kohen Mashuach Melchama. Eldi Fura Din Avi Imom. He was there to pay back the Midjanim. The Midjanim who sold his great 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 grandfather, Avi Imom, the father of his mother. Shneimar says in the Pasuk, the Midjanim Machru Oso El Mitzrayim. It's referring to Yosef Atzadik. Yosef was sold by the Midjanim. And this was a war against the Midjanim. And therefore, Pinchas was the right person to lead us into the battle because he wanted to take vengeance for them having sold Yosef. The main brother, Pinchas, from Yosef Asi? Are we suggesting that Pinchas came from Yosef? It's not true. Ksiv, it says, Elazar ben Aaron, lachach nami bnos putiel, lo lisha. We know that Pinchas came from Aaron, so that means that his father's side was a Kohen. That wasn't Yosef. And his mother's side, it says he took from Benos Putiel, from the daughters of Putiel, Lol Isha. My lav de asim Yisrael, shepitiv agalim lavodazara. Wasn't Putiel referring to Yisrael? That he fattened up, he came to fatten up calves to be served the Vodazara. You know, again, Yisrael started off as a over Vodazara. So isn't it talking about Yisrael? Isn't he Putiel? And therefore, he wasn't from Yosef. He's from Kohen, he's from Levi. And he was from Yisro. There's no one there, Yosef. But he says, no, it can't be. V'alo Shvatim Mevazim or so. But didn't the Shvatim make fun of Pinchas and saying, Re'isim ben Puti Zeh? They said, are you looking at this? That when Pinchas killed Cosby and Zimri, they mocked him. They said, what? This ben Puti has done what he did to one of the Nesim of the Jewish people? What does ben Puti mean? Ben Shepitim Avimo Egalim Abodazara? Yarog, oh sorry, I skipped. You got me. Okay, at least you got me there. I'll give it to you. We'll call even now. All my questions I asked you, we're even. Skip the line. Go back 1 second. It says more here. Lo, mi Yosef. It's not about Putiel. It's not Yisrael. It's talking about Yosef. Should Pete be Yisrael? That he conquered. He says Rashi. He was Mizalzel. He belittled and conquered the Yitzhar Hara. It's talking about Yosef, not Yisrael. Where says, what do you mean? It's got to be Yisrael. Valo Shvatim Mivazin or so. The Shvatim mocked him after he killed Cosby and Zimri. They said, Re'isim ben Puti Zeh, which means Ben Shapitim Aviyimo Agalim Lavodazara. You see this guy whose great 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 grandfather was an Ovodazara. He used to fatten the cows for Ovodazara. Now he's Yarug Nasim Yisrael. They mocked him. I mean, they assumed he was from Yisrael. So what do you mean that Putiel was Yosef? Ella, I Avua di Ime mi Yosef, Ime di Ime mi Yisrael. Meaning, every person comes from two people. So, Pinchas' mother, either her father or her mother, the father's tribe, the mother's tribe, one of them was from Yisro, one came from Yisro's line, and one came from Yosef's line. Again, if you want to say that the father of his mother was from Yosef, and the mother of his mother was from Yisro, the Imeidi maybe Yosef, and if his mother's mother was from Yosef, then Abu the Imeidi Yisro, then his father's mother, and his mother's father was from Yisro's tribe. And Dekanami, we can prove to you also, we can infer that it came from both Yisro and Yosef. Dechsev, Ibnos Putiel. Putiel is a trey mashma. It implies two putis. It's just a putael, says Rashi. Without the yud, putiel makes it plural. It's mashma, two different people who are mifat fate. So Yisro, who fattened Avodah Zarah animals, and Yosef, who mocked and defeated the Yetzer Hara, Shema Minah, he came from both of those lines. That's why they sent him as the Meshuach Milchama against Midjanim, who sold Yosef. Okay, so this mission right now will do. I had wanted to actually go to the next top next Amud, but we can we'll see how we do. Okay, it's a lot going on right now. Mission is quick. Mission is very quick. So Baruch Hashem, we'll go quickly. We'll see how we do with how the mission goes. V'dabrua shochim el am lemor mi isha shir bana bayis chadash lo chanacho ilech v'yashuv lebeiso. Mentioned before that certain people are told before they get to the borders of Eretz Yisrael that they do not go to war. So the shochim say to the nation, who is the person that built a new house and has not yet dwelled in it? He should go back home. Says the Gemara, let's describe a house. What does it mean dwelled in it? So echad abona bayis, beis teven, beis habakar, beis ha'etzim, beis ha'otzros. Whether you built a real house to live in or a house for straw, a house for animals, a house to store wood, a house for otros, a house to keep as like a storage for, says Rashi, for oils or for wine or for grains, all those counts. Those are all things. If you build these houses, you have not yet used them, then you go back from the war efforts. You go back from war. You don't fight in battle. Not only that, but even if echad abonev, echad alokech, echad yorish, echad shaslom matana, you don't have to even build it. If you built it, If you bought it, if you inherited it, if you got it as a gift, those are also count for you. And you go back for all those reasons. So any types of these houses, any way you came upon your hands right now, you go back for all those things. That's one example what you go back for is a home. Next one, Umiya Isha Shanata Karim Lochilo, a person who planted a vineyard, is not yet been able to enjoy its fourth year of produce, Chilo. It's the fourth year, it's called the Revai. Karim Revai, it has Kedusha, but you're allowed to redeem it and eat it. If you have not yet redeemed it and eaten it, I mean, you planted the vineyard, but you've not yet enjoyed it. So also we say, you go back from the war. What does it mean? Echadotei kerem, whether you planted a vineyard, echadotei chamisha ilan imachal, or you planted any five fruit-bearing trees, afilu michamisha saminan, even from five different species, they all count together. Rashi went out of here, looking at Rashi, there's a little diagram he has a picture of here. It looks like a little formation. The reason, the kerem is small, kerem is like we had a picture of. It's like two parallel trees and one tree at the end. That's the minimal amount of trees that can be for a kerem. So here, as long as you have five fruit bearing trees that are in that formation, that would be seemingly enough to let you go back as well. And even if it wasn't planted, echad noteach, echad mavrich, echad markiv, echad lokeach, echad yorish, echad shnasan lo matana. So whether or not you actually planted it, whether or not mavrich means when you take a shoot of the tree, like one of the branches, and you stick it in the ground. And you kind of bring it back up the ground after, like you kind of put it in the ground and shoot it up afterwards. So the way it works is that tree kind of takes a life unto itself, that branch, and becomes its own tree. So even if you did that, it was already existing tree, but you did that. Or you're marking, or you grafted. You took an existing tree already, two trees, and you grafted them to make another tree. That also counts as something that you go back for. Whether you bought it, whether you planted it, or you bought it, or you inherited it, or someone gave it to you as a gift, those are all reasons to go back from. Okay. Mia Isha Shir Aras Isha. Man who gets engaged to a woman. Again, let's talk about who that's talking about. Echad ma'aris is a basula, echad ma'aris is a manan, whether you're engaged to a virgin or you're engaged to a widow, even if it's not someone you chose to be engaged to, it's rather someone that you were waiting to marry because your brother was married, a person's brother was married to them, and that person died without having kids. So now this brother will marry them, ashamaris yavim. You also go back for that reason. Even if you heard that that person heard that his brother had died in war, so then you go back from war and you go back home to the lady, Shomer's Yavim, even if it happened after you already went to war. Gemara Mishnah points out now, Kol Elu, the word Ve'elu here is taken out by the gear, so we have Kol Elu, Shomin Divrei Kohen, Marche Melchama, Ve'chozrin. We mentioned before that this is what the Kohen is going to say to us by the border of Israel. They're going to tell us all these rules of who should go back, these three cases. You build a house, you planted a vineyard, you married a woman, but you haven't really consummated any of these things yet or done any of these things quite yet and enjoy them. You go back. What do you mean you go back, though? You go back from the battlefield, but you're misapking my Muslim, but you provide the soldiers with food and water. You help them out with the war efforts. We're talking to Sadrachim. You fix the roads to make it easier for them to travel, but you don't actually go to battle. You don't risk your life, but you are involved with what's going on. Okay. Here's a list of things that do not go back for. These are not considered proper buildings or proper plantings or proper marriages. Habona beishar achsadrin repesis. Person who builds like a little gate area, like a like Rashi explains over here to be like a guards booth, or a chsadra, which is like a patio, your peset, a porch. You don't go back if you just extend those things. If a person plants four, not five, but four fruit-bearing trees, or chamisha ilanei srak, or five not fruit-bearing trees. Machzer es grusha, so a person who remarries his ex-wife. Amana the Kohen Gadol, grusha the chalutz the Kohen Hedjot. An amana for Kohen Gadol, again, a widowed lady who shouldn't marry Kohen Gadol. If he marries her, you don't go back for that. Grusha, chalutz the Kohen Hedjot, again, he doesn't want to marry the woman either. Grusha is a woman who's divorced, a chalutza, a woman whose husband passed away, and the brother-in-law spit, they had the whole spit in the shoe piece. Akiva, I'm not listening to you say, make those noise now, keep yourself on mute right now. I want, yeah, there you go. Okay, I see it. You don't need to, I see it. So those examples over here, you do not go back for again. Those are all examples of people who are not supposed to marry those ladies anyways. And they did, so it's not appropriate. So we don't go back for those things. And more list, Mamzeris from the scene of Yisrael, Bas Yisrael, Mamzer, Nassim, Loya Choser. Again, a Mamzeris, a female Mamzer, and a female Nassim, we mentioned before, the Givonim, Tam Yoshua Ben Nun, who tricked Yoshua. They're not to marry within Klal Yisrael. That was one of the rules that they made after we were tricked. And the opposite of Bas Yisrael to a Mamzer and a Nassim, even though they're Jewish, they cannot marry into our normal B'nos Yisrael. And therefore, if you did, you would not go back from war for those things. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, almost on the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, Afa bona bayis al mechono lo yachozer. If you built a house, like you broke down your house and you made a whole new house, the house the same thing it was before, nothing new, nothing added, exact same mile as before, and bayis al mechono, the exact same house you had, you got to broke it, but put it back there exactly the same, you don't go back. It's not a new house. You don't go back for that. It's not called a new house. It's the same thing you had before. Relezer Omer, Afa bona bayis, Levenim b'Sharon lo yachozer. If you built in the Sharon area of Eretz Yisrael, it's a place. If you built a brick home there, you don't go back. Rashi explains over here because if you built a brick home there, the ground usually for some reason it would cave and the house would fall down. Every 7 years there would be at least two times you'd have to refix it up, and therefore this would not be considered a house that's worthy going back for. It's not considered a structure that's strong enough to celebrate and to stay back for. Here, these people here that we're mentioning right now, they don't even go to the border to hear this whole announcement. They're so involved that they stay back and they never even move to go to start the journey with the rest of the army. They don't even move. They stay back the whole time. They don't have to worry about the war efforts. They stay with their spouse, whatever it is. Bana bayis v'chancho. If you started already living in the house, but it's the first year, but you mean you started. Not the kerem v'chilo, the fourth year of the vineyard. The first 3 years you can't use it because of orla. Fourth year you started already redeeming it. And enjoying it. I know say it's a rusaso, or a kodesh vimto, or you just got married to your engaged wife. You just consummated the marriage with the yavama, and still the first year. Those things within the first year of all those things, you still don't even go to the battle. You don't even go to help out the battlefield at all. You stay with your spouse or with your house or with your vineyard. It says you should be clean for your house for 1 year. What does it mean? So Leveso refers to Beso Mamash, your house. If you have a house within the first year, you don't leave to go to war. You don't even go to help out. Yiyed, where Yiyed adds on and says, Zeh Karmo, it includes even your, not a house, but a vineyard. V'samach as Ishto, that's the next part of the pasuk, which we don't quote over here. That refers to Ishto. That means you go back within the first year of marriage. Asher Lakach, Asher Lakach, afterwards, Lavias Yivimto. To even include not only your wife, but even if it was a Yivama, even if a person married his brother's wife who was widowed by the brother who had no kids. So also that's Asher Lakach. Even him, he goes back within the first year. He does not even leave. Ema speaking, Mayim Muzzle, they don't have to give. How about the war efforts at all? The aid Misaknin Esadrach, and they do not clear up the roads either. They don't involve themselves at all in the battle. They're completely staying with their spouse or their house or their vineyard. Okay. A vote. Let me pause. I'll vote right now.